voaafrica.com.
On voaafrica.com, the news updates never stop. Our primary goal is to keep you informed.
voaafrica.com, your trusted source for news and information.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's begin with African football. The group stage of the 2021 Africa Cup of Nations qualifying competition has kicked off across the continent. There were 11 qualifiers on Wednesday. Let's go group by group with the results. In Group A, host Namibia defeated Chad 2-1. In Group B, Malawi beat visiting South Sudan 1-0. And host Burkina Faso and Uganda played to a scoreless draw. In Group C, Sudan posted the biggest victory of the day, a 4-0 win against visiting Sao Tome and Principe. In Group D, Gambia got a big 3-1 road victory against Angola. It was Gambia's first ever away win in Nations Cup or World Cup qualifying, and it avenged home and away 2022 World Cup qualifying losses to Angola 2 months ago. In Group B, Central African Republic beat visiting Burundi 2-0. In Group F, 2021 Nations Cup host Cameroon and Cape Verde played to a scoreless draw in Yaounde. The indomitable Lions of Cameroon earned an automatic bid to the next Nations Cup as hosts, but they're taking part in qualifying to get competitive match practice. In Group I, Guinea-Bissau defeated visiting Eswatini 3-0, and 2019 Nations Cup runners-up Senegal won at home 2-0 against Congo Brazzaville. Finally, in Group L, Sierra Leone and visiting Lesotho drew 1-1, and host Nigeria defeated neighbor Benin 2-1. For more on Nigeria's victory, here's Iron Mike Mbonye in Uyo.
The Super Eagles of Nigeria began the 2021 AFCON race with a 2-1 win over Nebos, the Squirrels of Benin Republic, in a Group L match. The Squirrels shocked Nigerian supporters at the Godswill Akpabio Stadium, Uyo, when they took the lead 2 minutes into the match. Squirrel striker Stefan Sessegnon connected a pull-out from winger Jodel Dosso after a brilliant run from the left flank. Benin almost scored a second goal in the 4th minute after a corner kick, but Nigerian defenders cleared the ball from the danger zone. Nigeria got back into the game, but Squirrel's keeper Fabon Famole denied them scoring opportunities. France-based striker Victor Osimhen equalized for Nigeria in the 45th minute through a penalty after Ola Aina was fouled by a Benin defender. Nigeria stepped up attack on resumption, but keeper Famole of Benin saved some goal-bound shots. France-based striker Samuel Kalu scored Nigeria's second goal in the 62nd minute when he dribbled past the Benin defense to put the ball beyond keeper Famole. Nigerian coach Gennaro Rowe said they knew before the match that it would be tough against Benin Republic.
We are happy about this victory. We knew already before the match that it would be very difficult because Benin has one of the best organizations defensively. And they made the quarterfinal also in the AFCON, and we saw them playing. They eliminated Morocco. They have a very, very good team.
Michel Dusuya, Benin Republic coach, says despite the loss, the team played well.
Nigeria didn't create so much opportunities, but I know that the danger is at each second with the strikers they have. But we did rather well. To lead in this game was good for our confidence for us, but we conceded a penalty kick just before 2 minutes before the halftime. So it has given more confidence to Nigeria in second half. It was very hard.
Nigeria leads Group L with 3 points. Lesotho and Sierra Leone played 1-1 in Freetown in another Group L match. Nigeria will play against the Crocodiles of Lesotho on November 17 in Maseru. For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Iron Mike Mbonye in Uyo, Nigeria.
Thanks, Iron Mike. There will be more Nations Cup qualifiers across Africa over the next few days. This qualifying competition will continue through November 2020. A total of 24 teams will play in the 2021 tournament in Cameroon. Our VOA football fans will remember Cameroon was initially scheduled to host this year's Africa Cup of Nations tournament, but it was stripped of the hosting rights because of poor preparations, including delays in the building of infrastructure. Egypt stepped in as the host, and the Desert Foxes of Algeria wound up winning their second Nations Cup title, beating the Lions of Teranga of Senegal 1-0 in the final on July 19th. The Ghana Football Association recently elected former sports journalist Kurt Okreku as its new president. The 48-year-old Okreku is tasked with cleaning up a GFA that has seen its image tarnish considerably by a corruption scandal. The scandal led to league game suspensions and some football clubs closing their doors. But one club that stayed open is not only promoting football, it's also working to keep young men off the streets. Stacey Knott reports from Accra, Ghana.
Ghanaian football was stunned last year by a corruption scandal in which referees were found to be accepting bribes to influence the outcome of games. But while the Ghana Football Association has struggled to clean up the sport and some football clubs have closed their doors, the Shooting Stars Football Club has continued to train, house and support young players. Isaac Unser is co-founder of the Shooting Stars.
From a very small way, we're trying to make sure that football is still being played. In the last 2 years, most clubs in Ghana have shut shop. Why? Because you can't keep on spending money on something that is not being supported. It's not running. So footballers are sitting at home. What are they doing if they're sitting at home? They're going to get into trouble. They're going to be on the streets.
The scandal spurred many Ghanaian football players to take other jobs or leave the country for other clubs. But with donations from the founders' friends, family and some businesses, the Shooting Stars were able to help footballers like 17-year-old Emmanuel Chibafor keep training in Ghana.
All the environments are just good for a footballer. So you don't need to go outside to try and figure out, like going to look for money. Like they have all the food stuffs and all the facilities around there. So you don't need to go outside the country.
The team has helped the young men do well in exhibition games in Europe, even though many are from less privileged backgrounds with far fewer resources than their European counterparts. Some European clubs have even signed Shooting Stars footballers. Part of reforming the GFA was finding a new president. Ghanaian attorney Amanda Clinton was the only woman to run, though she was unsuccessful in her bid. Clinton says it is important to make sure all talented players have a good shot at success in the game.
Football has been a really good leveler, you know, globally. It's like the gladiators of our time. It's been a very good leveler for disadvantaged people where it makes a difference.
Shooting Stars co-founder Ansa says young players need more support. He wants to further develop the Shooting Stars both on the field and through education. His ultimate aim will be to see a handful of his players in the international spotlight and better support for players who stay in Ghana. Stacey Knott for VOA News, Accra.
Voice of America!
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Our reigning prince of pugilistics, Namdi Hollywood Moeta, joins us again this evening. And Namdi has an update on Ghana's former WBO super bantamweight champion.
Isaac Dogbe is healed now from the ankle injury, and he's been threatening to take on Carl Frampton because they were once sparring partners. Frampton is going to fight in Las Vegas November 30 against Tyler McCrary. That fight will happen in 2020, and if Isaac Dogbe can beat Carl Frampton, which means Isaac Dogbe is back, so Isaac Dogbe and his team will have to decide if there's the right fight for him coming back from a double loss with Navarrete. We don't know. We just have to see how he deals with Frampton. But he's making all this noise now like they used to do in the past about knocking out Frampton. Frampton is not an easy fight for him. It's not an easy fight. It's going to be a dangerous fight. Coming off those two losses, I will prefer a soft touch before going against Frampton.
Namdi, do you have updates on other African fighters?
Remember Zulani Tete from South Africa? He was in that World Boxing Series and he got hurt and pulled out of that series. Now, Naoya Inoue, the monster, took on Nonito Donaire and beat Nonito Donaire for the Muhammad Ali Cup. Zulani Tete won a fight with Naoya, the monster Inoue from Japan. And that's going to happen if Zulani Tete can take care of business against a Filipino fighter, John Rio Casimero, November 30th in Birmingham, England. The fight with Naoya Inoue, the monster from Japan, would be a big fight for the African Zulani Tete in the bantamweight division, because Naoya Inoue has already unified two belts and Zulani has one more belt. So it would be a big unification fight between the monster and Zulani Tete.
Thanks, Namdi. That's our reigning prince of pugilistics, Namdi Hollywood Moeta. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Let's take a break now for these VOA programming announcements.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Sporting greetings. This is Branson Weir, the head coach of the Nigerian national men's rugby team. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Want to relax, unwind, or charge up? Then listen to Music Time in Africa this weekend. It'll do all that for you and more. I'm Heather Maxwell. I know good music. And Africa is my passion. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for 1 hour of commercial-free Pan-African music of the highest caliber. You get great music, music news, and amazing artist interviews from rising stars to superstars. This listen will take you places. So do it. Join me for Music Time in Africa, your weekend destination.
Thanks, Heather. We look forward to your next Music Time in Africa show. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. My VOA colleague Jim Stevenson joins us now with a package of sports news. And Jim says he'll be kicking off with the Seattle Sounders winning their second Major League Soccer championship. Three second-half goals lifted the Seattle Sounders past Toronto FC to the U.S. Major League Soccer Championship in front of a sellout crowd of more than 69,000 people at CenturyLink Field in Seattle. Down 1-0 at halftime, Sounders coach Brian Schmetzer regrouped his players.
I think there were some nerves there in the first half. I think there was some, you know, plays where guys needed to be a little bit more composed. As the game kind of grew, especially in the second half, I think they settled down a little bit. We tried to settle them down at halftime. The halftime speech was not ranting and raving or anything like that. It was more firm, just, okay, look, this is what we need to do. This is what we're going to try and change.
Kelvin Leerdam, Victor Rodriguez, and Raul Ruiz-Diaz each netted a Seattle goal. Rodriguez was named MLS Cup Most Valuable Player and says keeping the ball away from Toronto was the key to winning.
It was hard for us because Toronto played very well, but I think in the second half we try a little bit more our soccer, our football. We keep a little bit more the possession, and this is, for me, was a key for the game. No, I'm proud for all my teammates. I think we deserve that, and I'm really happy.
Toronto FC coach Greg Vanney says the season was a bit of a roller coaster ride with distinct highs and lows.
The season felt like three seasons in one in some ways, but the latter part of it was such a joy and a pleasure with this group, and I think they left everything on the field. We went on the road and played two very good teams prior to this and came up with two very big results, and we felt confident that we could do it today, and unfortunately we fell short.
Seattle forward Jordan Morris could hardly believe the outcome.
It's hard to put into words. It's amazing. It's just a real moment for me personally, for this team. Obviously, it's a big moment in this club's history. Just so proud of everyone. It's been a team effort all year.
Sounders goalkeeper Stefan Frey said his team rose to the challenge when needed to secure the second MLS Cup trophy in franchise history.
You know, it wasn't our best game. We surrendered a lot of possession, but possession doesn't necessarily mean everything. And then when we did get our chances, we were ruthless. We were good. Guys were hungry to make a difference up top, you know, and I appreciate that. It's the reason why we're always going to talk today.
The season-ending ATP Finals are underway in London with the top men's tennis players in action. And with an incredible comeback, Rafael Nadal showed why he's number one in the world.
Today is one of these days that I say on the court, one time of 1,000, you lose this match. And happened today. So very happy for that. Very sorry for him, honestly, because lose a match like this is tough and it's painful. So I feel very sorry for Daniil.
Russian Daniil Medvedev was Nadal's victim in his first round robin match, and not just any win. Nadal came back from 1-5 down and match point in the third set to pull off an incredible 6-7, 6-3, 7-6 win.
In that moment, you play with not much pressure because you know you are almost lost. With the 5-3, of course, I started to believe, because being only one break away, why not? I need to be there, I need to create the moment.
Nadal won the French Open and U.S. Open this season after coming back from injury.
Having a very solid year for my side, no, and especially with all the problems that I had at the beginning of the season, that doesn't matter.
He is one Grand Slam title away from matching Roger Federer's record of 20. He's also trying to end 2019 at number one, while not aggravating a recent small stomach tear before he heads off to the Australian Open. All of his accomplishments, along with this amazing win, have delivered Nadal an amazing year.
Yeah, able to come back that way has been a very positive year in all ways. So very happy about the things, and for me it has been great. It's fine.
France has defeated host Australia to win the Fed Cup tennis title, as we're joined by Craig Gabriel, who was courtside in Perth.
The Marseillaise echoed around the arena in Perth, Western Australia. France had begun their celebration. The last point had been played. It was championship point three when the Aussie tandem of Ash Barty and Sam Stosur sent the ball long in the doubles, the deciding match of the final of the Fed Cup. Kiki Mladenovic and Caroline Garcia were spread-eagled on the court as the rest of the French Fed Cup team, led by captain and former player Julian Beneteau swamped their doubles combination. It's been a 16-year wait for this moment. France scored a 3-2 victory over Australia, itself in a huge drought, both climatic and tennis-wise. For 45 years, the home nation hasn't won the premier prize in women's team tennis. The final day started with the tie locked at 1-1. The first reverse singles was Barty against Mladenovic, and the Australian was almost a whisker from taking the match. She had break point, and if she had converted, she would have served for a straight set victory and a 2-1 lead. But it was not to be, as Mladenovic never let up and never lost confidence as she won 2-6, 6-4, 7-6, crushing the breaker 7-1. Her emotions were overflowing after the match.
For sure, it's one of my nicest moments and emotions on court, even though during the season and in the past years I had wins over top 10 and also against number one, but this one is special because it's, you know, final for the country, for the team, in front of an amazing packed crowd, and it's a different environment than on the WTA Tour.
Quite possibly the break point of the eighth game of the second set was the crux of the final. The win gave France a 2-1 advantage, but the final was levelled when Alia Tomljanović, who had a horror of a match on the first day, rose to the occasion. To borrow a line from Dickens, events like Fed Cup and Davis Cup can produce the best of times and the worst of times. Tomljanović beat Pauline Parmentier 6-4, 7-5.
Yeah, it just shows you it's tennis. You know, I was really not surprised, but also flattered that they still backed me for today after yesterday's performance. They believed in my ability, and that's kind of all you can ask for from a team like that. And I'm just happy that I could contribute in any way and give them a chance to, you know, win it.
In the doubles, Mladenovic capped probably the finest weekend of her career by winning the doubles with Garcia 6-4, 6-3 over Barty and Stosur. Barty, the world number one, explained that this is a tough pill to swallow.
Well, I mean, I think you can see how much it means to all of us, and yeah, obviously it's bitterly disappointing to be sitting here not with the result that we're after, but all in all, it's about taking a little bit of perspective, and this team, this group of girls, I mean personally I wouldn't want to be sitting here with anyone else. It's been an amazing journey, amazing time of the year for us, and to be able to be in a Fed Cup final is something that is very precious. We'll cherish it, and it will drive us more for next year.
This is France's third Fed Cup championship. In 2003, they defeated the USA and Russia, and in 1997, they beat the Dutch in the Netherlands. Surprisingly, France has never won the competition at home. This final was historic in a way because it's the last time the overall home and away format will be played. Next year in April, it goes to a one-week format, and it'll be the shortest period of time a nation has held the Fed Cup. Craig Gabriel, VOA Sports, Perth.
South African Gary Player is one of golf's greatest legends. This week, players gather to compete at the Nedbank Golf Challenge that Player hosts. Lee Westwood of England is the defending champion.
Yeah, it's great. I always look forward to coming back to Sun City. It's a brilliant resort and a great golf course. Obviously, I've done well around here as well, so, you know, that brings back good feelings. And yeah, it's nice to be back and defending the tournament.
With prior success, Westwood is confident he can win again.
I know the course well. You know, I know where they put the flags. I read these greens pretty well as well. So distance control, you know, with the elevation changes and the extremes in temperature, you know, all come into that. So, you know, I have a pretty good game plan for the course, and, you know, I know how to handle the variations in conditions.
English compatriot Tommy Fleetwood will be there.
Just the way scheduling works, sometimes can't do everything, and last year this one missed out, and then you come back and you think, why would I not play this one? It's just feel great as soon as you arrive here. You know, love the golf course, love the atmosphere, love the resort, and everybody does, really. So it's just nice to be back.
Fleetwood hopes to join some of the greats who are past winners.
You can't output this golf course. You have to put well, obviously, but you can't output it. You can't start winging it everywhere and then expect to get away with it. So I think that's a really good thing. And I think if you look at list of winners from Lee, Ernie, Nick Price, Seve, Sergio Henrik, it's like a strong list of ball strikers.
A strong list indeed, Tommy. That's English golfer Tommy Fleetwood speaking at the Gary Player Country Club in South Africa. And thanks to my VOA colleague Jim Stevenson for that spicy sports package. And that wraps up the November 14th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Patrick Dea. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.
I get it.
Hello, I'm Douglas Simpoga, host of VOA's Reporters Roundtable. Join us every Thursday as we discuss important African topics and events. I'll have a panel of African journalists and expert guests to discuss the topic at hand. We take a deeper look at important African news topics. That's Reporters Roundtable every Thursday at 17:30 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
The Voice of America's Global News Program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest news stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. Our correspondents gather the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 3:30 and 17:05 UTC on The Voice of America.
Hello, this is James Butte, Managing Editor and host of VOA's Daybreak Africa show. Join us Monday through Friday at 03, 04, 05 and 0600 hours UTC as we bring you the latest Africa news, features and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our mail segment by sending your comments to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. That's Daybreak Africa right here on VOA Africa.
Border Crossings.
Join host Larry London.
Larry London.
On Border Crossings, VOA's only worldwide music request hour.
Whoa.
Every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in for the biggest hits and amazing artists. Win prizes and get the latest news from exclusive celebrity interviews.
Ooh.
Send your requests to Facebook at VOA Larry London, Twitter at Border Crossings, or Instagram at Border Crossings VOA. Or call 202-619-2077 and have your favorite music played to the entire world.
Ah.
Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal, only on The Voice of America.
This is Science in a Minute.
Astronomers spotted a star traveling at an incredibly fast 6 million kilometers per hour, or 10 times faster than most stars. According to the astronomers, the star called S5HVS1 once had a companion as part of a binary system, but the two stars wandered too close to Sagittarius A star, the supermassive black hole at the center of the galaxy. About 5 million years ago, the intense gravity of the giant black hole swallowed the companion star but flung S5HVS1 outwards on an ultra-fast journey. The star was discovered with the Anglo-Australian Telescope, and the European Space Agency's Gaia satellite helped the astronomers gauge its speed and trace its trajectory back to the center of the Milky Way. At its current speed, the star is expected to exit the galaxy in about 100 million years from now, never to return. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African Beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bonga flavor to soukous, Afrobeat to ndombolo and makossa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.